Oh, that's it. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Praise God. This isn't a spectator sport. Amen. But every single one of us needs to partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, God. You're worthy. Oh, let's clap our hands to him one more time. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We adore you. We thank you, God, for what we feel in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I like what I feel in the house of God tonight. Amen. Pre-service prayer, the worship service. Amen. Brother Pastor Cowan got up, started reading those scriptures, quoting those scriptures. I said, he's going to haul off and preach. And there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Acts, chapter number 16, starting with verse number 25. Praise God. I count it an honor to minister this second youth service. Amen. I do love these young people. I've said it before to them. I've said it to other people. These are our future. Amen. This is the future church. These are the ones that are going to take our places, should the Lord tarry. Amen. And I think that it's in good hands. Amen. I think we've got a good group of young people. Praise God. Praise God. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 25. It says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Verse 31 says, "And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" So many directions that we could go just from these few verses of Scripture. We could talk about praying. We could talk about seeking the face of God. We could talk about praising Him through our adversity. Amen. We could talk about God's provision in our time of need. Amen. But instead, I want to preach for a few moments tonight on this thought: beyond belief. Beyond belief. If you would help me to pray, and let's ask for God's anointing here in this house. Lord, we love you right now, God. God, we're thankful for your word. God, without you, we can do nothing, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and honor today, God. We've come to magnify you and exalt you. Anoint this word to every heart, to every situation. Give us ears to hear your voice, Lord, and allow us to be moved by it, to be stirred by it, to be changed by it, by your precious name, in your precious name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated this evening. Praise God. Praise God. This thought or this statement found in verse number 31 is all too familiar in our present day. In present day Christianity, no doubt, you've heard this term before. You've heard this scripture quoted and more than likely misquoted. The fact of it is most Christian churches today would proclaim this as a plan of salvation. They would claim that this is all that you have to do to obtain God in your life. They would argue that this is the only thing that must transpire in order for a person to be ushered into the presence of God and for them to obtain eternal salvation. Amen. And once you're saved, you're always saved. There's no going back. There's no messing up. There's no making mistakes. That eternal salvation that so many in our generation preach. Simply believe on the Lord and everything else is going to take care of itself. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty simplistic to me. Right. Amen. Amen. If I'm telling you today, if God had intended for one scripture to save us, why did he give us 66 books in this good book? Amen. If he had intended for one verse to obtain our salvation, to proclaim our salvation, why would he give us so many other scriptures to give us direction? Amen. I can tell you there's a reason that we have all 66 of these books. There's more to salvation than just making a public confession. There's more to salvation. Amen. It's more than just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. It goes beyond belief. It goes beyond just believing. In the story that we read, we see a Philippian jailer who recognizes that there was something different about these two men. These men, Paul and Silas. Amen. When they were locked in captivity and anybody else would have been down and out, they would have been in the molly grub, so to speak. These men begin to sing and they begin to praise God. They begin to magnify Him, even though they were in difficult times. When given the opportunity to escape, and when their captor was contemplating taking his own life, these men were obedient to the calling that God had placed upon their lives. They were obedient to the place that God had brought them to, even though it wasn't where they wanted to be at that time. Amen. They were willing to do what God called them to. And you know that left an impression on this man. That left an impression on him so much so that when he came before them, he fell at their feet and he asked them, "What do I have to do to get what you've got? What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to get out of this life that I'm living in?" Praise God. He desired the salvation that they possessed. Verse number 30 says, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Amen. They could have said, "Well, just believe on the Lord and you've got it. That's all you got to do. Oh, well, you just have to make a public proclamation." Amen. You just have to believe in your heart and accept Him as your personal Savior. But that's not what He said. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Praise God. Okay. So I believe tonight. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm glad I got that out of the way. I'm saved. I'm eternally secure. I can go about my business. I can live any way that I want to live. Well, no, that's not how it works. Well, sir. Amen. It goes beyond that. Yes. Verse number 32 says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway." Now wait a second. If all you have to do is believe on the Lord, if all you have to do is accept Him, amen, then why? Why? Just a couple of verses ago, if that's what Paul told him, why would this man take the time and the effort to be baptized? Why would he do something like that? If all it takes for salvation is just to believe. Because it goes beyond that. He understood that it was more than just believing. He understood that there was some action that had to take place. He understood that the believing was a good starting place. But there were some things that needed to happen after the believing. Praise God. It takes more than just belief to be saved. Another verse that present-day churches like to use is in Romans chapter number 10 and verse 9. And I always think it's interesting. They pull out the little snippets and the pieces that appeal to them, and they take things so out of context. Chapter 10 and verse number 9, it says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Uh-huh. Amen. We believe that. Right. Amen. We believe that tonight. Paul wrote that to the church. Amen. And they believed that back then. We still believe that today. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and if we believe in our heart, we're going to be saved. Praise God. Confess and believe, and you're going to be saved. That's all it takes, I guess. So I confess with my mouth. I guess that means that I've got to speak something. So there's a little bit more than just thinking it in my mind. There's a little bit more than a silent prayer going through my mind. I've got to speak something, and then I've got to believe in my heart, and then boom, I'm saved. The book of Romans, if you do any type of study, if you understand anything about the Word of God, the book of Romans was not written to Romans in general, but it was written to the church that had already been established in Rome. It was written to a church that understood the same things that we understand tonight. It was written to a church that had repented of their sins. Amen. It was written to a church that had been baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. This book was written to a church that had been filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as God gave the utterance. Praise God. And so this church that was receiving this word written to them had already experienced the plan of salvation. They understood that there was more than just believing to this word of God. They understood that it was more than just believing, that you have to have a relationship. You have to grow with God. You have to understand and to read His word. You have to let it get into your heart and let it to change you. Praise God. As I said, many people take the scriptures out of context. If we were to read on in Romans chapter 10, verse number 10, it says this. It says, "For with the heart, not with the mind, note you, but with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Another misinterpreted, misunderstood scripture. Again, this verse, this one verse, we're not going to pull it out of context. We're not going to pull it out of the chapter and base our salvation upon it. We're not going to base our salvation on this scripture alone. Calling on the name of the Lord is essential, and we believe that. We understand that. But believing and calling on God alone will not save you. Amen. And the people that Paul was writing to understood this. They understood that it was more than just calling upon God. They understood that it was more than just calling upon His name. Verse number 14, it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" So first you have to believe. That's the first step. Amen. You can't just come to the altar and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't just come to the altar and God fill you with the Holy Ghost unless you have faith, unless you believe, unless you're seeking after Him. God will not force the Holy Ghost upon you. Amen. So first you must believe. How shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Praise God. We believe when we hear the Word of God proclaimed unto us. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Amen. The Bible says in another place that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them who what? Who believe. By the foolishness of preaching. So these people that believe, that's all they've got to do. No, God chose to save them. God chose to deliver them and to help them through foolish preaching. Amen. And it's not foolish preaching. You don't misunderstand me. Amen. All preaching is good, but it's just the men behind the pulpit. Well, right now, all right? So you mean that I have to do more than just believe? Amen. That's exactly what I mean. You need preaching in your life. You need the Word in your life. You need the Word deep down in your heart. Amen. Not just a head knowledge. Not just a head understanding. Amen. Anybody can get that. Amen. But to get a true revelation, to get a true understanding, and to let it permeate into your heart to where it begins to change you. Praise God. Praise God. Verse number 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." They have not all obeyed. They have not all put to action what they heard and even what they believed. Amen. We can hear the Word of God. We can hear it preached from the rooftops. We can hear it preached in 100 different forms and formats. Amen. We can preach salvation from different directions. Amen. From different vantage points. Amen. We can understand the oneness of God. We can understand that there's only one God. We can understand the holiness. We can understand, amen, the salvation plan. Amen. But if we only understand it in our mind, if it doesn't ever get into our heart, then we've lost our way. We have not all obeyed. We have to put to action, amen, what we believe. It has to go beyond belief. It has to go beyond having head knowledge and intellectual understanding. And it has to come to a place where we are submitted to God's ways, where we are submitted to His will. It has to get into our hearts and into our spirits. Because when it does, it's going to push us to action. Amen. It's going to push us to action. When we hear the Word of God preached, there needs to be a self-evaluation that takes place. Amen. When we hear the Word of God go across this pulpit, amen, we need to say, am I lined up with that? Is there something that I need to work on? Is God trying to minister to me? Amen. Don't just shovel it over your shoulder. Don't just throw it to the person behind you. Amen. But keep it for yourself and begin to search out your heart and say, God, is this for me? God, is there something I'm not seeing? If there's something I don't know, God, just reveal it to me, God. Yeah. Amen. And when you do, amen, do something about it. Praise God. That self-evaluation has to take place. We ask ourselves, God, am I lined up with the Word of God? Am I lined up with the preaching of the Word? Is there something, an area that I need to work on? Amen. No time, no matter how long you've been living for God, do you ever get to the place where you've arrived? No time in your time of living for God, no matter how long it's been, do you get to the place where God does not still need to do work on you and change you? Amen. Until the day that we die or until He calls up His church, we're going to be changed. Amen. The Bible says from glory to glory into His image. Uh-huh. Amen. Not to be more like the world. Not to be more like the people that we rub shoulders with every day. But to be more like Him. Amen. And I know I've got a long way to go. Amen. Somebody could say amen tonight. Praise God. Praise God. If we see something that doesn't jive with the preaching of God, if we see something that doesn't mesh up with the Word of God, then we don't need to get mad. We don't need to get upset. We just need to get it right. Amen. We just need to get it right. Amen. We need to say, thank you, Lord, for revealing this to me. Thank you for sending me a man of God that would preach to me without fear or favor what I needed to hear. Because I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. Praise God. You can believe what the man of God preaches. You can believe what comes across this pulpit. Amen. But there comes a time in your life when you've got to put it to action. Amen. When you've got to put it to action. You've got to come to an altar of repentance. You've got to find a place of consecration. You've got to find a place of recommitment unto the Lord. A place to submit, amen, to His will. And let your will die out. Whatever it takes. Amen. We've just got to do it. We've just got to do it. Praise God. Because it's going to take more than just believing to make it all the way to heaven. Amen. We're not going to be able to believe ourselves into heaven. Amen. We're not going to be able to hope so, maybe so, believe ourselves into heaven. It doesn't work that way. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort on our part. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 35. Turn there with me this evening. Acts 8 and verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Praise God. I love good Jesus preaching. Amen. Those scriptures that Pastor Cowan read, those resonate with me and they should resonate. Those are scriptures that you should have committed to your memory. Amen. Verse 36, it says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What hinders it? There's water right here. What's keeping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, then you're good. And you don't have to worry about being baptized. Is that what your Bible says? That's not what my Bible says either. It says, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Yeah. Amen. Philip understood that you've got to go just beyond believing. You've got to go beyond just believing. This eunuch And I believe that Philip no doubt saw that this man had gone beyond just an understanding with his head. He had gone beyond just understanding what Philip was trying to say to him. Amen. You can tell by looking at people. You can tell if it's registering in their mind. You can tell if it's getting into their head or if it's permeating beyond their head and it's getting into their heart. There's going to be an excitement. I believe that eunuch, that he began to get excited as Philip was ministering to him the Word of God. He began to get excited about what Philip was telling him. He was getting understanding. He was getting enlightened about what the Word of God had to say. Amen. And when the water came about, this man said, I don't want to wait any longer. Yeah. Amen. I don't want to wait until I get back to Ethiopia. I don't want to wait until I can get to somebody else. Amen. Here is water. What doth hinder me? Let's get this taken care of right now. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. And such were some of you. Amen. You heard the word. You saw it for yourself. You saw the necessity of being born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God and the essential need for it. Amen. And you just couldn't, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait to get up to an altar of repentance. You couldn't wait to get in that watery grave of baptism. Amen. You couldn't wait for God to fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. You didn't want to wait another service. Amen. Amen. You didn't want to wait another service. Amen. I remember when I got the revelation of baptism, it was in a Bible study, and it was the Bible study before I got baptized. Amen. And I got the revelation of baptism in Jesus' name, and I began to mull it over in my mind, and a week passed by, and I'll tell you what, I began to watch every which way, and I began to worry. I don't want to go out into eternity before I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got to get right. I've got to make sure that this is right. Amen. I don't want to wait. Praise God. Praise God. You've heard the word. You saw it for yourself. Amen. And you had a zeal. You had a desire in your heart that I've got to be saved. Amen. I've got to get right with God. Praise God. Being a good person isn't good enough. Amen. I know a lot of good people. Amen. I know people that proclaim to be Christian. Amen. But you would never know it by their lifestyle. I know people that don't even believe in God that are good people. Amen. But it takes more than just being a good person to be saved. Amen. There has to be some action that takes place. Amen. Look at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. The Bible says that his prayers and his alms came up as a memorial before God. Amen. I wonder if our prayers and our alms have ever come up as a memorial before God. This man knew how to get God's attention. Amen. He knew how to get a hold of God. Amen. But the Bible says that he was still lacking something. He still lacked something. He still had to follow God's plan of salvation. Amen. Cornelius was a good man. Cornelius prayed regularly. He gave diligently. Amen. But he still needed to do something about this plan of salvation. Amen. And he was willing to put his money where his mouth was. He was willing to follow God's commandment. And he did things exactly as God had commanded him. Amen. He didn't do it his way. He didn't subvert from the way that God had directed him. But he told him, he said, call for Peter. And he called for Peter. He said, have him come to your house that he can tell you how you and your house must be saved. And he did exactly that. And when Peter came and he told him what he had to do to be saved, he followed it to the letter because he knew that he needed this salvation so badly. He followed it and he did things God's way. And as a result, his entire household obtained salvation. Praise God. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. Turn there this evening. Acts 16 and 16. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Amen. She was right. Amen. She was right about what she was saying. This woman had a spirit. Notice it's a small s, not a capital S. She had a spirit dwelling within inside of her. And the spirit understood and believed who Paul was, so much so that she proclaimed for all to hear, these men are the servants of the Most High God. This spirit, amen, of divination believed. Amen. This spirit of divination believed that these men were of God and that what they were saying was of God. But Paul got tired of it. He got tired of this woman crying out. He got tired of this spirit trying to associate itself with the work that they were trying to do for God. You see, the devil understood what was going on, and he wanted to try to associate it to deceive other people that were what was going on. And Paul said, no, I'm not going to put up with this any longer. Verse 18 says, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Praise God. Did you know that spirits can believe? Amen. Amen. They can. Spirits can believe. Spirits can believe what we preach. Spirits can believe the Word of God. Amen. Even the devil, the Bible says, can believe. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It's truth. They believe that there's only one God. They understand it. But it doesn't drive them to action. Amen. It has to drive you to action. We believe that there's only one God. Pastor Cowan quoted so many good scriptures believing, showing that there's only one God. Amen. We believe that there's only one God. We believe that that one God came down and robed himself in flesh. Amen. That he dwelt among us. Amen. We believe that. We believe that he healed the sick, that he raised the dead. Amen. We believe that he went to Calvary and he took on the sins of the entire world. We believe that. We believe that he died. We believe that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. We believe that. I hope we still believe that. And he did all of that so that we could be saved. But it has to go beyond just believing these things. It has to go beyond believing just these things. We've got to do something with it. We've got to do something once we understand it. Once we get it into our heads, we've got to let it get down into our hearts. And we've got to do something about it. Praise God. He died as an example to us so that we would understand that we must die. Amen. We don't have to die physically. We don't have to die in the way that he died, thank goodness, even though I deserved it more than he did. Amen. But we have to die. We have to die out to our old lifestyle. We have to die out to the lifestyle of sin. We have to die out to the old ways. Amen. We do this in repentance. Amen. We come to God and we do an about face from our sins. We ask God to forgive us. Amen. But beyond asking him to forgive us, we turn away from that old lifestyle. We turn away from the ways that we used to act. We turn away from the things that we used to do. And we turn ourselves towards God. Amen. Just as he was buried, we must be buried in the waters of baptism. Amen. For the remission or the blotting out of our sins. Amen. This is a person that dies must be buried. Amen. As Jesus died and was buried, we must be buried in the waters of baptism. Amen. We turn away from our sins and we ask God to forgive us, but those sins are still trying to hold on to us. They're still trying to keep a grip upon us and keep us under a hold. Amen. But when we go down in the watery grave of baptism in Jesus' name, those sins are washed away. Those sins are remitted. Amen. Amen. It takes more than just believing that God can forgive us of our sins. It takes more than just believing that God is able to forgive us of our sins. Amen. But we've got to follow the means and the plan that he outlined to us to obtain this. Praise God. So we're buried with him in baptism. And the Bible says that as he rose from the dead, we must also rise in a newness of life. Amen. The Bible says, born again of water and of the Spirit. Amen. And that's a capital S. That's not our spirit. That's not a spirit of divination. That's not an unclean spirit. But that is the spirit of the living God. Amen. That's God in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Praise God. God fills us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God fills us with His Spirit. Amen. And the Bible says He quickens our mortal bodies. Amen. So that we are able to overcome sin. So that we're able to overcome this flesh. So we're able to overcome the temptations and the desires that would come up against us. Praise God. But it's got to go beyond belief. It's got to go beyond belief. In fact, if we were to go back a few verses in James chapter 2, verse number 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him?" If you were to look up the definition of that word faith in this verse, one of the definitions of this is the word belief. So in essence, what James was trying to say here is, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he believes, but he has not works, or he doesn't do something about it? Can belief alone save him? Can belief alone save us? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Let me tell you tonight, belief does not put shoes on their feet, and belief does not fill up their stomachs. It doesn't. You can't will them to be full. You can't will them to be clothed or have a blanket around them. You can't just, I'm going to believe it super hard, and all of a sudden they're going to be warm. That's not how it works. But it takes action. It takes somebody going out of their way and handing them a coat, handing them a blanket, handing them some food to fill their belly. Amen. It takes somebody putting it to action. Amen. It takes somebody blessing their neighbor, thinking about their neighbor more than they think about themselves. Praise God. Verse 17, even so faith or belief, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Praise God. It almost seems, that verse that we read, it almost seems as if it's out of place. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It's almost like it's out of place, but it fits so well when we understand what he was saying, what James was telling the church. He was telling them that it goes beyond belief. It goes beyond belief. It's not a coincidence that this verse appears here. But James was saying that it takes more than belief. It takes faith. It takes more than just faith to be saved. Praise God. It takes putting it to action. It takes hearing it, yes, but it takes doing it. It takes putting it into action. It takes putting our hand to the plow, amen, and not looking back. It takes reaching out to our neighbor, touching our neighbor, helping our neighbor. Amen. Not just saying, God, I wish somebody would help them. I wish somebody would reach them. Amen. Why not me? Why not you? Amen. If God brought them into your life, it's for a reason. Amen. I may never be able to meet that person. Amen. But you have an opportunity to reach that person. But it's got to take more than belief. Praise God. Musicians come this evening. Praise God. I realize this is nothing new to anybody here tonight, but I believe that this is something that we need to be reminded of from time to time. Amen. I know we believe God. I know we trust Him. I know we say that. I say it often. Amen. God, I believe you for this. God, I know that you're able to do this. Amen. But it goes beyond just believing. It goes beyond just saying, God, I know that you're able. Amen. But it's seeing God do the miraculous. It's seeing God do the work. Praise God. You may be saying, Brother Reed, well, I've repented of my sins. I've already been baptized. What does this have to do with me? Well, I'll tell you what, it goes beyond just our initial experience with God. It goes beyond just believing God for our salvation. Every single day, we are given the opportunity to put our belief to practice. Every day. Every day we get that opportunity to put our belief to practice. When we're sick in our bodies, amen, and I know some of us have been sick lately, but when we're sick in our bodies, we can say that we believe that God is able to heal our bodies, and we do. Amen, but I wonder, amen, do we stop at belief? Do we stop at just believing Him or trusting Him and saying, God, I know that You can heal me? Or do we let our knees hit the ground and we begin to pray for God's healing virtue to flow over our body? Amen. Do we come to the front to be anointed with oil? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We don't have anointing oil up here just for decoration. But it's so that we can pray, so that Pastor Cowan can pray over the sick and anoint them with oil, believing that God can heal them. And I've seen it. I've witnessed it myself. Don't tell me that God can't heal sickness. Don't tell me that God can't do it, because I've witnessed it myself, and so have many of you. Praise God. And when it happens, your faith ought to rise. If God can do it for somebody else, God can do it for me. If God can heal their body, He can heal my body. Praise God. When our friends or our family or our neighbor is groping in darkness, we aren't going to just believe them into the church. Oh, I sure hope they come. No, it doesn't work that way. Amen. Do we believe that God will just take everything into His control and He's... You know, yes, I believe that God does draw people. God draws people to the house of God. But I believe that He uses His church. Amen. I believe that He uses the saints of God to reach them and to be a light to them. It's going to take some praying. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some more praying. Amen. It's going to take us being a light unto them. It's going to take us getting out of ourselves long enough to help somebody and to bless somebody else. And what about when God speaks to us and tries to give us a course correction in our lives? Do we believe that God will just take us all the way to heaven without any effort or input from us? That once saved, always saved. I don't believe there's going to be anybody in heaven that doesn't want to be there. I don't believe that there's going to be anybody in heaven that just, you know, by happen chance showed up there. But I believe that everybody that makes it to heaven, amen, everybody that makes it to heaven, amen, is going to have to put in some blood, sweat, and tears. They're going to have some desires. They're going to have some prayer meetings. Amen. They're going to have some times of pushing back the plate. Amen. If we're going to make it, it's going to take some input and some effort on our part. Praise God. Are we willing to do something about it? We have to go beyond just understanding and belief. But we have to let what we believe change us and put us to action. Amen. We have to put it to action. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I like I said, I know this is nothing new. Amen. Something we've heard many times. Amen. But God laid this on my heart for this service. Somebody needs to hear this. Amen. Somebody needs to go beyond just believing tonight. Somebody needs to put this into practice. Amen. This altar is open tonight. Praise God. I want to tell you, you know what you need to do in your mind, but God's just waiting for you to get it down into your heart. God's just waiting for you to get to a place where you have to do something about this belief that you have, where you've got to do something with it. Amen. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who's sick. Amen. Are you just going to believe God from where you are? Or are you going to step out right now? And are you going to come to the front? Amen. And pray and allow God to make you whole. Jesus. Oh, let's reach out to Him right now.